Welcome to the Adults Corner,
where nothing's off limits.
We're going to discuss
masturbation,
anal,
butthole foreplay,
BDSM,
sex. No, we need to make that clear. I do not like things in my butthole.
Welcome back to the Adults Corner. This is episode 6. And I think we should start off by answering a TikTok question that we've been, that someone has asked us to answer.
There's been like 10 to 20, probably 30 different people ask the same bloody question over and over again. Even though you have answered it, we're just going to re-answer it. It is... how does someone prepare their butthole to be pegged or probed? How do they clean it before they come to see someone, or just how do they clean it prior to play?
So you can go to the chemist and get a Fleet enema, F-L-E-E-T enema. Fleet enemas are used for when it's very light anal play, like perhaps a finger or two or a butt plug, and you just squeeze all the liquid contents in your butt, hold it for as long as you can, and then release it. And the good thing about Fleet enemas is you can unscrew the lid, so if the water comes out brown, you can fill it up with water again, put some more water up there, and then release it. And you can keep doing that until the water is clear. Or you can go to a sex shop or eBay and you can type in bag enema. And bag enemas are great because they're reusable, and you can, and these are for more heavy
big clean
anal play. These are like for big clean outs, for big cocks or
big cocks. I don't need a bag. I just need a Fleet then.
No, you need a bag because we're gonna do a bag on you for just like the detox purpose, because I use use bag enemas not for anal play, but just for like a nice clean out. So you don't even have to do enemas for anal play. You can just do it for like a detox clean out. So you can get bag enemas from eBay, and it's the same process. You just fill it up with water, and you want it to be lukewarm water. So when the water touches your skin and it's not cold and it's not hot, it's just kind of like slightly warm.
Oh, that feels nice going in.
That's the temperature you want. And you want to slowly release the water in. Make sure you lube up your butthole before you use the bag enemas, because they don't have any lube on the end. The Fleet enemas, they do, so don't worry about that. And just put as much water in as you can without it being uncomfortable. Hold it for as long as you can, and be close to a toilet when you do it, because when you get up, sometimes the pressure of the water inside can be a bit too much and you'll leak on the floor. So make sure you put a towel down or something plastic and be close to a toilet. Or there's a third option. You can get an enema.
Just get a fucking power hose and shove it up there.
This is basically a power hose. So you can get them from sex shops. Like you can walk into a sex shop and get one, or you can get it online for a sex shop. And you take your shower head off and connect this little doohickey, and then you just shove the nozzle up your butt while you're in the shower, and you can just shit down the drain if you want to. Or you can do it like the bag enema. You can just fill your butt up until you can't hold it anymore, and then walk to the butt, release it, and just keep going back and forth until it's all clear.
Sounds like a fun time. Glad that we cleared that up for TikTok for the 20 billionth time. So let's talk about Chloe was off gallivanting for her birthday celebrations at a festival over the weekend with some slippery fingers, not hers,
yes,
over the weekend.
In the middle of the bush. No phone reception. It was
Chloe
bliss.
Chloe was fingered in a tent with an onseer.
I can talk about my bad trip experience.
Was it mushrooms?
On the doof as well. No, I was coming down off acid and then I smoked a cone. It was not good. And I was in this tent with this guy I'd met before and another girl. He was talking about how when he was younger, him and like this big group of guys were part of this like 10-week workshop for 10 weeks. They went to the Ivy nightclub and their entire goal was to pick up chicks and like get them home in a cab. And it just freaked me out so bad. I went into like shock and my whole body was like tense and vibrating. I had to go lie down and try and get myself in like a positive state. And it was just very, very overwhelming. I was stressed. Like I couldn't open my mouth. My jaw was like clenching and I had this weird image when I closed my eyes. It was like a mandala of The Simpsons, of like weird. I was asking myself, why the fuck am I relating The Simpsons to this like negative feeling? And it was like a very like warped, like cracked out Simpsons, like very jagged, elongated edges, and just like twirling and twirling and twirling. It was making me sick. I was like, oh, I'm gonna throw up. And I was like that for like half an hour, just trying to calm myself down, telling myself like I'm safe. And I was imagining that I was in like the arms of like the creator, just like being held and like just reaffirming to myself, like, I'm protected, I'm safe, I'm protected, I'm safe, but I just couldn't snap out of it. And then thankfully my friend Lumi came to the campsite where I was at, and she represents like pure love and like safety and protection to me. So I was like, Lumi, I'm not having a good time right now. I need something and I don't know what it is. And she was like, okay, I think I know what you need. And she just gave me like the biggest embrace. She just hugged me and held me like so close. I got in her jacket and our breathing became synchronized. We were just like, and then we ended up like humming, like,
You had to be high as a fucking kite. I got to chime in here because I'm like, you explain that to me and I'm like, if you come up to me and did that now, I'd be like, right, what are we doing?
You want to try it? It's really nice.
Right now?
It really relaxes your nervous system.
I feel pretty relaxed because I've had two wines.
Even better then. And then... so she was doing that and I like snapped out of it. Like my body calmed down. I wasn't shaking, but I was still like a bit distraught. So we went for a walk and got like this a mushroom flavored hot chocolate. It had like special sacred mushrooms in there, not like psychedelic, like reishi and shiitake.
Did they have kava there?
No, they didn't have kava there. They had cocoa leaves, like cocaine leaf tea.
I would have tried that for sure.
It was good. I didn't have it. It was fluoro yellow. And then we went to this little setup called the Soul Shack where people were playing guitar and it was like a sing-along. And that really snapped me out of it because they were like doing covers of Britney Spears and we were all singing along. And then one lady got up and she started singing the Hey Ya song, like, hey.
Oh, yeah.
No. Yeah.
No, that's like, hey, ya.
What's going on?
Oh, that one. Yeah, no, yeah. Not that one. Is that the song you've been singing all today?
All day, because that...
And then I snapped you in the toilet. You were singing it in the toilet as well.
Yes.
That's how good that song is today.
It was such a good song. Toilet tunes only. I've been thinking about it ever. I've been thinking about it so much since then. And then I was like, okay, and I saw this narcissistic guy there.
Oh, just one?
Just one that I was seeing just after, like, I stopped dating my ex. And, like, he couldn't even look me in the eye. Yeah. And he was a total narcissist. He just, like, loved bombing me.
Yeah, no, he was a dick. And then, mentioned him a few times.
And then we went to a doof together. And then I saw his true colors. I saw, like, how he treated other people. And I was like, okay, well, I've been in a trance from his affection because I was really vulnerable at that time, splitting from my longtime ex. And, yeah, I saw him there because after the first dookie took me to a year ago, he just like ghosted me completely after that, which yeah. I was okay with because I didn't actually want to like continue seeing him, but it would have been nice for him to share a few nice words, just like how much he enjoyed my company, just like a thank you, like for spending the time with him because we did have a really good time, but no, ghosted me. So I just ended up deleting him and then I saw him there.
Yeah, he was blocked.
And I was with like two people that he knew. So he came up and he saw me out of the corner of his eye, but he ignored me and he came up and like grabbed the person who I was talking with and like pulled him aside and like hugged him and like kind of like manhandled him, wrestled him a bit. And then like hugged my other friend who was there and then was like, oh, Chloe, as if like he hadn't fucking seen me. And I was
this sounds like maths. When you left the dude that made you feel uncomfortable, mm-hmm. that you didn't even say anything to him. You just kind of politely dismissed yourself.
Well, I freaked out because I was coming down off acid and then I had that cone and like I couldn't hear anything but like negativity coming from his words and I thought I was going crazy.
Yeah, because he sounds like a fucking creepy, pervert, rapey
but
dude.
But like I had conversations with him like previously and afterwards and I didn't get any negative vibes like before or after the bad trip. So I don't know if it was like me like miscomprehending him and I just like fallen into like a state of vulnerability.
Or do you think that the energy he's carrying now is different to the story he was telling you back then and he was a shitty cunt back then?
can.
Yeah. That I was in such a state of shock. I couldn't put a sentence together. I just like stood up and was like, bye, and ran.
Well, I would have just called him on his shit. I'd be like, you sound like a rapist, dude. And if you do want to tell this story, tell me and I'll go tell someone who will put you in jail, because that's fucked up. There is nothing worse than feeling vulnerable. And I think we had this conversation a few weeks ago, catching a cab home late at night after a night out. You've been drinking. You're an only female in a car by yourself. Maybe there are men that feel this same way. I'm not too sure. I'm not a dude. I haven't spoke to any guys that do feel this way. But there are occasions over the years that I have had friends be in situations with cab drivers that have been attacked by cab drivers.
Mm.
And stories that you hear of girls be attacked. And it's like, it's uncomfortable. Like, you've got the safety of knowing who the cab driver is, what his star rating is, and, like, it's on your phone and it joins. But at the end of the day, it's just, like, a drunk girl's word against a cab driver. Like, it is quite unsafe. Because remember that date I went on a few weeks ago, and anyways, he told me to go home. Did we talk about that day?
This is the first time I'm hearing of it. Oh, no. Yep, I remember. Yeah. He did tell you to go home and you had to go get a cab because, like, this guy gave everyone else shots except you.
Do you know what I worked out? Because remember I went to the toilet and I came back and there was water on the bar? He had got me a water. I think he told the owner not to give me any more drinks. I think it was him that cut me off and not the owner.
Yeah.
Because the owner went to give me a drink and then took it away. And then it clicked with me a few days later. I was like, that motherfucker cut me off.
You can handle your alcohol too.
I'm drinking right now. Because I like red wine and I like vodka. I worked parties for fucking 12 years.
Yeah. From what you told me about him, he was very boring anyway. So he was probably getting like really fired up and excited and he couldn't handle it.
I'm telling you, he's gay and he doesn't know it. I'm 100%. Remember after the first date, because I went on a second date because I felt sorry for him and he booked tickets and I was like, oh, my God, I felt really bad and I felt like I had to go.
Yeah.
And I did. I showed up to the second date.
Yeah, and you went too keen because you thought, like, he might have been gay and then.
No, and I thought he was going to try and kiss me on the second date because I don't like he spent a lot on, like, tickets. I felt obligated because he bought tickets. So I didn't the whole week. You know I wasn't looking forward to it.
Yeah.
And then on the day I was super nervous because I was like, no, he's going to try and kiss me. He's going to try and kiss me. I don't want him to kiss me. What am I going to do if he tries to kiss me?
Yeah.
And I wasn't looking forward to the actual date itself, which was like a burlesque show. This dude's probably going to listen to the podcast. Don't even care, FYI. I think you get. I'm sorry, but I've told you.
And it's okay to be gay.
No, it's okay to be gay. But if you're gay, don't go on dates with girls.
Yeah.
And
don't string them along.
Yes.
Or if you're bi or bi curious, be open about it.
And don't cut them off. I'm sorry, it's a date. If you're not vibing them, fucking leave. Don't cut her off and then tell her to leave.
Yeah.
That's just weird.
Mm.
And by this stage, I was just like, bro, I'm not interested. And I blocked him. I block everyone, just like the dude that I was trying to have sex with.
You block a lot of people.
Yeah, because I'm fucking off them.
Today's topic is actually about cyberbullying.
Yeah.
The Adults Corner TikTok has been under attack by haters recently because we touched on a very sensitive topic about orgasm at such a young age, and there are lots of people out there assuming that because I was able to orgasm at a young age and because I was sexually...
At five.
Yeah, because I was like... exploring myself sexually but didn't know it was sexual at a young age. They thought that I had been fiddled with, which I never have in my life.
But it's good because actually on TikTok, majority of our audience is female, and there were a lot of females that came to, well, not your defense, but just like in...
just agreeing that,
they shared the same experience and that they weren't interfered with. It's just their body did that and it felt good at that age. And this person's like, how do you even know at five that it's an orgasm? It's like, if you listen to the video, Chloe specifically says, at that time I didn't know what it was. I just know it felt good. And that's what every other female in the comment section was saying as well. But unfortunately, our report, I solidly believe, because I've been in social media for a fucking very long time now, and it's kind of like kitty fiddling. Great topic. It's always someone you know majority of the time that's doing it. It's like reporting It's always someone you know. So it's not these randoms that are just like reporting us because you can just clearly get it off your screen. It's people that think that they're in competition with us. Mm-hmm. So Chloe and I, we haven't looked up any other podcasts. We don't know anyone if there's a podcast that exists like this. Our intent is not to be better than other podcasts. Our intent is to educate people to have safer practices and to share our experiences and stories. So if people don't have a friend or a family group that they feel they can chat openly with about these topics, that they can come to our podcast and hear us talking about our experiences, stories, and safe practices that you cannot find on Google or YouTube.
Yeah, and share their stories with us and ask questions to us.
So I think with the whole reporting thing, it comes down to just like jealousy and other podcasts, because I've noticed we've picked up the attention of a few different people because, you know me, I live on social media and I love behavioral patterns, and it's so easy to see behavioral patterns on social media, Instagram especially. And even with people interacting with you in regards to like the podcast, like even if you tell me a story about somebody and they go, oh, they inquired about a podcast, if you relay the conversation to me, I'm like, that's weird. What's her account name? I'm going to block them, because I'm like, no, not a vibe. Doesn't feel right. Blocked. Mm-hmm. And it's the same with, I've blocked people that I've known because I'm like, no, it's just a coincidence that all my shit just got reported after I accepted you to the account, after a conversation we had. All these things on TikTok have been reported. Like if I post anything on my main Instagram account promoting, like not even bragging, like because I don't like to say, hi, I did this, this is my success. I myself am fucking mind blown that a podcast, we can collect like 2,200 followers on Spotify alone after 3 episodes. Like mind blown. We started this podcast, we didn't think it would get that popular. So when I put it out there, it's not like bragging.
It's very interesting that you think that way when we're getting reported, because I didn't think of it like that at all. I had a totally different other thoughts about why people are reporting our podcast. And that's because I thought that, because it is a very touchy subject, it's sensitive, the things that we talk about, it's not common, they are very taboo. And I was thinking, well, it's people who are religious fanatics and people who think sex is like sinful or shameful and you shouldn't do it before marriage reporting our accounts. And then I hear your side and I'm like, yeah, that is totally legitimate as well.
Well, it's just when you have 6 videos get bulk reported in a like in a space of like 48 hours and you get Instagram being reported at the same time, you know it's not just one marriage person on their high horse. They need to have a personal relation to be that invested with you. These people need to be involved with following your stories day in, day out. They want to sabotage you. It's not just someone who comes across you, reports you once and is like, yuck, this shouldn't be on the internet. It's these people have vendettas against you and they're actively trying to destroy and sabotage you.
Yeah.
And you can see that in the behavioral patterns, like reporting 6 TikTok videos literally in a row, because the last 2 I posted during the time that 3 videos had already been reported and I appealed all of them. So we've got like majority of our TikToks back. But another thing that pisses me off massively about cyberbullying is the fact that these platforms, YouTube, Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, they're so massive and they've done such a great job. But at the end of the day, their backend systems for reporting is still a massive flaw, because I can sit there and report you till the cows come home and you may not lose your content, but your account is still marked as tainted on the back end.
Yep.
And you haven't done anything wrong. TikTok, Instagram, Facebook, they've re-looked over all your content and been like, nah, she's fine. But because someone is actively reporting you so fucking much, they hide you. And they go, well, like she's not doing anything wrong, but she's getting so many reports, we're just going to fucking hide her. Not block the person who's reporting them multiple times. Because if you're on a public account, Let's be honest. Anyone who has the capabilities of creating bot farms, anyone who doesn't know what a bot farm is, firstly, I fucking hate them. They are the devils of social media. Bot farms is when somebody creates a fake account multiplied by hundreds or thousands. And this bot farm, they all look the same. They all have the same characteristics. They have the same profile photo. They have similar usernames. They have a similar following account, similar followers account. They all have similar representation, links in their bio, whatever it is. You can work it out through patterns. I'm big on fucking patterns. Not sure I made that clear. That is a bot farm. So if your account is on public and you can access that via a desktop, it is very easy for someone to create a bot to just go and bulk report these accounts over and over and over and over and over and over again. And then also put all these accounts onto people's TikToks, Instagram, Facebook, and follow them. And then every time that they post a photo or a video, they remove the fake accounts. And now they do this because Instagram and Facebook, all these algorithms, they show your most recent followers or a percentage of your most recent followers your most recent posts. So if those recent followers, which are these fuckwit bots, are unfollowing you and being removed, does your post go very far? No, because the platforms think post isn't good enough. No, people aren't liking this post. They're unfollowing her. So all these bots, they do this to ruin your activity on your account so you're not seen. It's like another form of shadow banning that's not even coming from the platforms themselves. And it's happening a lot, and it's progressively gotten worse the past few years on social media accounts. And I think that it's shit, especially for people who use it as a business and can monetize through social media.
Because I think the bot farms are specifically targeting businesses and influencers who make money off the platform.
Especially OnlyFans creators.
Yes, OnlyFans creators especially. Because I find if the general public come in contact with a bot from a bot farm, it's usually one of those ones where they're pretending to be a sexy lady and it's like, click here for my like exclusive content. Like,
oh my God, I hate them.
That is an example of a bot.
No,
a bot
it's not
farm.
Cindy. It's not Cindy.
No.
Oh my God. So wait, I got to talk about this.
Yeah, tell everyone about Cindy.
Fucking Cindy Cox, is me, but not me. I got to make this clear. I am not fucking Cindy. My real name is Dana. My stage name for the past 12 years, 13 years, I think we're going on 13, let's just say 13, is Cherry. The reason I got Cherry Dana was because to create a Facebook account many, many moons ago, you had to have a first and a last name. So I was like, oh, fuck, well, I guess everyone knows my real name. I'm going to be Cherry Dana.
Did you have red hair at the time?
Yes, I had red hair, and that's where Cherry came from because I used fudge, cherry bomb color. That was it. Similar to your lipstick, Chloe Baboey. I was fiery, and now I'm just a dud.
No. Bombshell.
Yeah, I'm a bombshell.
Oh, no, why did you say it like that?
Because I used to work for the agency, and I do not promote them. Like, I think it's probably a different owner now. Probably the best move they ever did, but like, yeah. Where was I going with that?
So there is a fake account of you
going around, Cindy.
Named Cindy Cox, and there's scamming people. You're having this very persistent man.
He's not
attack
persistent,
you.
He's a fucking obsessive stalker.
Every day he messages you and posts on your post saying, Cindy, give me my money back. You're a scammer. And I don't know how many times you've told him you're not Cindy, and you can't
prove
that you're not Cindy.
I lost my shit at him on my Facebook because I was like, you dumb fucking cunt. I'm sorry. I'm saying cunt because I am sorry. You cannot be so obsessed with the real me, Cherry Dana, that did not speak to you because firstly, I cannot tolerate one email from you, let alone 50 fucking emails in the past, 2 months? I get 3 emails a day. And when I block him, he creates a new email account, the fucking email. And the same as Facebook. He comments on my business accounts, which is just like, that's too far. Stick to Cherry Dana. It's fine. I'm used to just like weird comments and stuff, but don't come into my personal life and comment on my businesses. That's too far. Like, you look like an absolute fuckwit for starters, and you look like a head case that needs to be literally institutionalized. That's how I feel about this guy. Like, I don't know how much money you lost, and I'm sorry, but that is not my fault because I did not talk to you. If you got convinced by someone pretending to be me and yet you've somehow figured out who the real person is, how do you not work out that you're an idiot?
I had a very similar experience with this guy who got scammed by someone who's been using my identity for years now, and I cannot get them removed. When they create a new account of me, because it's always like around, they always use the same bio. It's like young dominatrix, and they like hashtag like leather latex.
I get desperate, single, fucking horny woman.
Oh my God. So like they pretend to be me, and they got this guy that apparently these scammers had been talking to this guy for like years using my identity. And like when he actually came across the real me, it was because the scammers used a short video of me with the Mimi and Vovo in the background. So he Googled Mimi and Vovo and then found my real name and reached out to me. And I was like, and he told me everything, and I'm so sorry that happened to you. But then he had this major cognitive dissonance because he had been speaking to this scammer for so many years and like really creating this
for years
relationship with me, well, what he thought was me. And these people had told him like I grew up in a cult, like it was like a ritualistic like sadistic abuse that I had gone through, and I'd like escaped, and I built my own BDSM cult, and then I was the queen of this, like of all these subservients, and I was to initiate him into like my own private cult and things like that. And I think like he gave the scammer some money as well. So he had this cognitive dissonance, and it's like I see that this is you, but it's so hard for me to believe. And he kept sending me all these messages, and he genuinely wanted to get to know me. He wanted to tell me all about his life story. And I was just like, I'm sorry, but I'm like so disinterested. He was very spiritual, and apparently like,
he is not spiritual enough if he doesn't have good instincts and intuition to work out he is talking to a completely different fucking person.
And I've seen the conversations from this scammer as well, and you can tell that English is not their first language, or they just have very
poor
English
and Michael
or grammatical skills. I just had to be really blunt and be like, I'm sorry, like I'm not interested. This has happened to you and it's really unfortunate, but it's not my fault that this happened. I've been trying to take this account down for years and years and years.
Was this person on OnlyFans? They create a fake account of you on OnlyFans.
No, they create fake accounts. They link my real, in their bio, they link my real Twitter. They link my real OnlyFans. But then the scammer gets them to go to Hangouts, which is like WhatsApp, and then they talk to them there, and then the scammer gets them to send gift cards. The smart ones go to my Twitter and they see my posts there that say, I do not have an Instagram. I have an Instagram, but not for my mistress persona. So I'm like, I do not have an Instagram. This is a fake. And then they're like, oh, like I almost got scammed by the scammer, because they actually have a brain.
Did I tell you the dudes actually create fake passports and driver's license of me and send it around? They go, but they sent me your passport. I'm like, what person in their right fucking mind would send somebody a copy of their passport, you idiot?
Yeah.
You can literally hack somebody's account with that identification. What the fuck are these people smoking? Like, we need a catfish tutorial, because I actually don't think it's stupidity. I think it comes from fucking desperation. Wanting to be seen, wanting to be heard, wanting to have a connection with someone.
Yeah, 100%.
And you're forcing a connection, firstly, with a fucking dude, because majority of the time they're men.
They're men.
No female, I'm sorry, actively is going to go out there and just exchange her nudes for a conversation with you.
Yep.
Like, it sounds really fucking mean, but let's just come back to reality.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not going to go send my nudes. Like, I didn't even send nudes to the dude I was trying to have sex with. He sent them to me and he goes, your turn. And I said, no.
That was never an agreement.
I said, I asked you. You said yes. You asked me. I said no. He goes, I respect that. I said, yeah, no, sorry, different headspace for me. Not a vibe. Why would I send you nudes? I'm trying to get fucking laid. Look, we need to make this clear as well, that I never get laid. And every time I try,
It never seems to happen.
You end up blocking them.
Chloe can go away to a festival and get fingered.
Yes, I did get fingered at the festival and it was big drama. It was very big drama.
And I've been frustrated and horny all weekend, and all I got to do was fucking stop people reporting our TikTok and Instagram account. Chloe got fingered and I got fucked on TikTok. This is bullshit. You have to finger me to make up for it. Chloe, give me an enema to make up for it.
Okay, yes. I'll happily do that for you. But it wasn't all smiles and rainbows with the fingering. It did come with consequences because his ex-girlfriend was sleeping across from us, which I didn't know.
Yeah, that's a bit awkward.
And she had given him permission to have sexual relations with somebody else because she was actually dating. She actually went back to dating her ex-boyfriend and said that she didn't want to be dating him. But because it was so dark in there and I could only see the back of her head, I thought it was my other friend, and I never would have like engaged in that intimate encounter with him if I knew
it was
she
her.
Was there, because I am very empathetic and I put myself in her shoes and I was like, well,
I'm so empathetic. If it was my friend, it's okay. No, but because it was his ex-girlfriend, it's not okay.
I wouldn't have done it if she was there, because if that was me, I wouldn't have wanted to see or hear that. That would be really hurtful.
What about your friend? Do you think she wanted to see or hear that?
She would have joined in, I'm sure.
Oh, I'm so glad I didn't go. I'm so glad. I'd prefer to be protecting TikTok, to be honest.
I had ketamine for the first time.
Yuck.
It was something else. My vision went upside down. All of my automatic bodily movements, I had to really consciously think about them. Like, I had to consciously think about walking. I couldn't feel my legs. Like, my brain was like all over the place. It was like my body was here, but whoever looks out of my eyes,
you were still functioning,
was somebody else. I was still functioning.
Well, you went in a K-hole. That's good.
I went in a K-hole, but I felt like I could have been. I could have slipped in one. Like, me and my friend Mahela, who had like really big lines before we left, we were just linking arms. We were camped so far away from the actual festival. We had to walk 15 minutes to get there. I don't think they were prepared for how many people actually showed up. Yeah. So like, there was lots of people like camped far away, and there was light as well. It wasn't dark when we were walking the 15 minutes. There was lots of people around. There was cars going back and forth.
I don't know. After K, I reckon everything would have been dark for me.
Everyone was fucked up and everyone was looking after each other. And just me and my friend, Mahela, were linking arms and we walked all the way there. And when we got there, we were like, how the fuck did we get there? And she had a UTI and she had to stop every two fucking minutes to pull her pants down. She had sex the night before and she didn't pee before.
Oh, I hate that.
Before she went to bed.
Does she want the guys' numbers that I've been talking to? Because she won't get laid. She won't have that issue ever again.
She already has four boyfriends, so she doesn't need any more.
That's why she's getting fucking UTIs. Dirty dicks, different dicks. Your body knows what it doesn't want inside of it. If your vagina doesn't like something, it gets unwell. It almost catches a cold.
No, I think she really liked it. She just didn't pee. Always pee after sex. Always, to avoid UTIs and thrush. Always pee. Because you got to clean out the urethra, because the bacteria can go up the urethra and into the bladder, and then it'll feel like you're pissing hot razor blades. Always pee after sex, even if you're a guy, because it can happen to guys as well. It's just not as common.
What are those tablets that Jules always takes?
Oh.
No, they're really good.
I'm not sure.
No, they're so good. We've got to remember them because
I think they're a type of antibiotics.
No, they're not like an antibiotics. It's like a Ural. So Ural is what we have out here in Australia. If you feel like a UTI coming on, a bladder infection, you take it, you mix it with water. They don't work very well for me. If I get a bladder infection, I have to go to the doctor's ASAP because I am like clawing the walls with the amount of pain I'm in. But there is these tablets.
We'll put it in the bio.
Yeah, we'll put it in the bio. There's these really good tablets that Jules uses. She takes them actually every day, and so does my grandma, to avoid UTIs, because our family is actually quite prone to bladder infections.
Going back to cyberbullying, like all the hate we've been receiving, I used to be a cyberbully, actually. Like when I was around.
Yeah, what a bitch. You're meant to be like the good, nice one, Chloe.
I am really good, but I had to go through my evil stage, I think, to realize that like it's not worth being mean. It's actually a lot more fulfilling.
Well, it doesn't get you anywhere online, let's be honest.
It doesn't get you anywhere. It just gets you hate. You look like a fucking cunt. I was an absolute fucking cunt. I was such a dog, like when I was really younger.
Chloe's had two ones.
And the reason why I bullied people when I was younger is because I felt no sense of control in my life. Like when I was growing up, it was really challenging for me. I didn't feel loved. I didn't feel nurtured.
So you projected?
So I projected onto people and I called people like fat and ugly. And it was because I felt all those things about myself and I wanted to put other people down because I felt low. And just my thinking mind at the time was like, well, making other people upset makes me feel better and it makes me feel powerful. So that's why I did it. And when I grew up and became spiritual and I had some epiphanies and realized like that was really fucking uncool. I ended up like sending a lot of people messages online and apologizing for my behavior.
Oh, well, that's good.
And
you did
I wasn't
that.
Actually expecting any replies because of how nasty I was, because sometimes it escalated to in real life bullying and I actually cut some people's hair in real life and like put gum in their hair. I was nasty. I was a cunt. I'm so surprised I didn't get bashed as
this
a child.
This is from the girl that says she's empathetic.
I am now, but I definitely wasn't back then. I was like a mean, sad emo girl.
Can't believe we work together every day.
I was a very sad emo girl who thought being mean was cool. And I really liked this guy during that time who was like kind of really like dark and mysterious and was a bit evil. And I thought like doing that would impress him. So like I ended up sending all these messages and yeah, I was surprised that they replied and they were all just like really thankful and really grateful that I did that. And I just, yeah, explained to them the situation I was in. I was just like a very unhappy teen who hated myself. So I had to project that hate and anger onto somebody else as a form of releasing that emotion to not keep it in. But it just wasn't helpful because it just continued a cycle of negativity that was just awful.
Yeah.
But I think I came out of that cycle of like hate and negativity after I started experimenting with psychedelics, because before I started doing psychedelics, I could not see beauty and joy in life. I really hated life. I wanted to kill myself. I was very depressed. And then I tried acid for the first time and suddenly this like a veil lifted over my eyes and I was like, whoa, life is beautiful. It is precious. It is divine and it is not by accident.
Let's make this clear. We do not recommend you trying psychedelics for mental health issues.
100% not.
I've never tried psychedelics. I feel strongly that I never will. I don't agree with them, but that's your choice to do them and they work for you. And yeah. I have my opinion. And both of us actually have spent years in therapy and working on ourselves. So yes. We have like different standpoints on those things. Do not recommend psychedelics. It worked for Chloe. It's not going to work for everyone else.
Yeah, I agree with Dana 100%. Psychedelics are not for everyone and they can definitely make you a lot worse if you're not prepared and you're not educated about them. I would go to a doctor and get a mental health plan if you are suffering from any type of mental distress or depression or anxiety or anything like that.
I think I never went through the phase really, maybe on Facebook times of like, maybe I said some mean things. I can't really remember, or maybe MySpace, but I think because I've been on social media for such a long time and I've always had like a large account. I was just fortunate enough to be able to grow my account so easily that I've always kind of copped hate. So because when you're always on the receiving end, you kind of know what it feels like. So you don't really, like, I don't want to give it. I'm not going to write it, but I'll say shit and vent my frustrations out loud, which every time I do that, I second guess because Chloe tells me when you say a bad word about somebody else, it's actually you thinking it about yourself. And I'm like, fuck.
Yeah, I'm definitely of the belief.
The dude at the red light's a motherfucker, you slow shit. I'm like, do not say that about him. You're saying it to yourself. And I'm like, I am great.
So we have two minds. Well, we actually have more than two minds. We have the conscious mind and the unconscious mind. And the unconscious mind is the domain of behavior and emotions and stores and organizes all of your memories. And it doesn't it can't distinguish between reality and fantasy. And it thinks that everyone outside of you is you. So when you speak negatively about another person, your unconscious mind takes that personally. And a good example of this is when you watch a horror movie and your unconscious mind thinks that's happening to you. You start to sweat. Your heartbeat races.
I'm like, he's going to die first. Die.
You get shortness of breath. And this is the perfect example of your unconscious mind not realizing the difference between reality and fantasy. Your unconscious mind thinks that's you in the horror movie and your body reacts accordingly. So I am of the belief that everyone is a mirror of you, and by need, your unconscious mind needs to project your shadows onto other people in order for you to do the inner work.
100% believe that, like, no matter what you get to, you always have projections in these thoughts.
Yeah.
But as long as you're aware of them and then you make corrections to your behaviors around those shitty acts, like growth.
Definitely. Growth is an infinite process. It never, ever ends. You can never be perfect because there are always aspects of yourself that you are constantly discovering.
This whole topic, though, brings up our first guest speaker that we want to introduce because she's a fucking weapon.
Yes, she is.
She's a weapon because I'm a weapon because I'm related to her. We chose her. Well, I chose her. Well, I brought it up and you said yes. Mm-hmm. But I think it's great to be able to show how generations and society and social media and like the thoughts and everything like that have changed over time.
Mm-hmm. She was actually supposed to be
here tonight,
but she couldn't be here because she's a bit sick at the moment.
Yeah, she's a bit sick this week. Look, we should might as well just say it. We're talking about my bloody grandma. She's like 94. She's a fucking weapon. She's still got her mentality about her.
Yeah, she's very switched on still. And she's going to tell us the secrets to staying mentally bright until old age.
Such a vibrant gun. And I want to ask her sections about sex. Ask her sections.
Questions about sex.
You've told me a little bit about her and her romantic life, and it's fascinating, and it's very, very different to how society is.
What you mean now? She's had sex with one person her whole life.
Why would you bring that up now?
And Chloe wants to have sex with 100 fucking people, she told me right before we started the podcast. I was like, no, you don't.
Let me explain that. So when I was at the Dragon Dreaming Festival, I attended
the one on the weekend.
The one on the weekend. I attended it was called Conscious Speed Dating Workshop, and one of the activities we did was to ask somebody what is your biggest kink, or like what is your biggest desire in the bedroom. It was a question formulated kind of like that, and I just like looked at the ground and was like, this is so embarrassing to say. And I was like, I was with a dude as well. I was like, because it wasn't like, you know, a girl with a boy with a girl. It was like just whoever like was available, so it wasn't like sexuality specific. So I was with a guy and I just told him, I was like, I want to fuck 100 guys at once, but I want all the guys to be someone, they can't be strangers. I want to like love and care about them, and I want to know that they like genuinely love and care about me, and I want to communicate with them beforehand so they know my limits, my boundaries, what I'm okay with and what I'm not okay with. Like, I want it to be really loving because I find being wrapped in masculinity very sexy.
Okay, wait, I can't even find one masculine male. How are you going to find 100?
I'm sure it won't be hard. I've been invited to all these orgies, all these gangbangs, and I've gone to a few, but I've never participated because I spent all like my teen years and my early adult years like just having one night stands and having like quote unquote non-emotional sex. And to me, it's not fulfilling. It's not satisfying. It makes me feel ashamed and empty afterwards. So if I was going to do it, I'd really want to know these people, and I'd really want to like care for them and to know that like I bring them some sort of benefit to their lives, and like they bring me like some sort of benefit to my life. That's what I want. That's my dream. That's my biggest kink. But I've yet to even have like a male threesome yet. So maybe I should just start there instead of fantasizing about the 100 guys at once and see how I can handle 2.
Can we audition them by looking at their dick pics? Because I'm down for that.
It's so much more than just dicks.
No, they're going inside of you.
So are their minds.
That's 90%.
No. I have a friend who is interested in people with male genitalia, and they have a male genitalia, but they say that they're only interested in men from the waist down, and as soon as they open their mouth, like, That's how I feel about people. The desire is gone.
That's how I feel about them. That's why I don't have sex often.
That's how I feel about majority of men. So that's why I really need to know these people and care for them and think they're a good person, because I am of the belief that, like, when you sleep with a man, because a woman, just like every human, has a positive and negative pole. So, or like a positive and receptive pole. And our receptive pole is our vagina, and our heart is our positive pole. So when we connect the man's penis, which is the positive, into our receptive negative pole, our vagina, we are downloading everything about them, all of their spirit, all of their emotions, all of their energies.
All of their fucking trauma, in other words.
Yes, and if we don't genuinely care for them or love them, that can affect us in negative ways, and we will feel their negative emotions.
Yeah, you feel all this shit. It's great.
It can make you feel crazy. So
yep.
That's why I just can't sleep with strangers.
It's true. And this is why strangers don't want to sleep with me. So they know they're going to take crazy. I'm going to reverse it. No, just joking. So Chloe Baboey, next week we're going to have to stock up on the reds.
Yes.
Red wine, because
Mim will be here.
Mim Bam, my 94-year-old grandma, is hopefully going to come to the studio next week to be our first guest.
And it's going to be so exciting, because we're going to talk about the differences between how sex was talked about and how people viewed sex back then compared to now.
Yeah, just a massive difference.
Among a lot of other things.
Yeah. Mim's got a lot of knowledge to offer. She's pretty, pretty groovy old chick. 94, brings a lot to the table.
Bless her, she's a legend.
Mate, she went viral on TikTok. We're going to talk about that and her views on going viral on TikTok. She had like 2.4 million views on throwing fucking ping pong balls into a beer drinking cup, for fuck's sake. And she's just like, she's a weapon. She had so many positive comments on there too.
Well, I think that wraps up episode 6 of the Adults Corner. Until next time.
Until next time. Don't put anything in your butt.